Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah and Isaiah and chapter number 33. Isaiah and chapter number 33. We're now starting to switch another theme within the book of Isaiah, that the book of Isaiah is organized in several different theme passages, where it will have several chapters dealing with the same theme and the same idea, and then another set of chapters that deal with the same idea and the same theme. And now we're starting to prepare for a major important theme and historical event. That what is going to happen is that the Assyrian military machine is going to wipe out the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC. And Israel, the northern kingdom, is going to be wiped off the map. The Assyrians then turn towards Judah and Jerusalem, where King Hezekiah is king, and the Assyrians are tired of this Hebrew menace, this Hebrew threat, these people that seem to always want to try to get a coalition to threaten them. And so the Assyrian Empire is going to take their great military army and surround Jerusalem. They're going to wipe out a whole bunch of cities around, so they are destroyed. And now Jerusalem seems to be the only city of Judah that is hanging on. And with that threat, knowing that there's a military machine that has not been stopped, that has 185,000 soldiers outside of the gates, that has, not only that, that's almost more than the population of the city that you're in. You're living on top of hills, so there's no fishing, there's no water stream, there's no delivery trucks. And on top of that, you have an orator from the Assyrians who are standing outside speaking in the Hebrew language with the purpose of discouraging everyone within the city, to let them know that they cannot fight, that they cannot defeat them, that Hezekiah is leading them to ruin, and don't trust Hezekiah. And by the way, he's the one who took away your gods, plural gods, not the God of heaven, and that you can't even trust your gods to help you at this time. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of wondering, how are we going to get out of this? Well, may I say, the answer every time is to look unto the Lord. And we find this idea in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 33. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 33. And notice with me, if you don't mind, as we explore this chapter, Isaiah 33, notice with me in verse 1. Woe unto thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealt treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, and thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou hast made an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoils shall be gathering like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locust shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and salvation of strength. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant one shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lay waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He has regarded no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewed down. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now I will lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burning of lime, as thorns cut up. They shall be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh righteously, uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression and shaketh the hands from the holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from the seeing of evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him, and his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is afar, very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of all our Solomites. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that need not be taken down. One of the stakes thereof shall never be ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall no galley with oars, nor shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Thy tackings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then the prey of the great spoil divided, and the lame take the prey. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven there. Iniquity. And if you wouldn't mind, notice how the Bible describes God. This isn't names of God, but this is descriptions of God in Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah 33, and notice with me in verse number 22, where it says, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. And with this, we're going to explore this passage with the light that the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. And see, as again, the Israelites are preparing for this Assyrian army. They are afraid. What do they run to? Whatsoever I'm afraid, I will seek to God. Look to him. He's the answer. He's what we see, that we look to him and we realize that he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he's our king. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just thankful that you are a God who, because of your character, because of your righteousness, we can trust you. We could depend upon you. We could watch you work. And Lord, as we come now, help us to learn more about you. And help us that even in those times that we're afraid and that we need delivered, we can trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 22 is going to be our key verse. In fact, we're going to use this as our outline. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. Notice this, he will save us. The word save in the Bible, we usually will put this with spiritual salvation. But the idea of save just carries the idea to deliver from a problem, to deliver from judgment, deliver from something that you're facing. And in here, they have the Assyrian Empire, and they need deliverance. And they're looking to God to give them deliverance, to save them from what the situation they find themselves in. And we're thankful that our God, who has many aspects and different characteristics, has three that is mentioned here that we could depend upon in any situation that we can trust God. Notice that, first of all, God is our judge. God is our judge. Notice with me in verse 1. Woe unto thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealtst treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. And when thou ceasest to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end of deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. In here, it's talking about, verse number 1, that there are some people that look like they're never dealt fairly. There are people out there that deal treacherously, that make back deals, that lie, cheat, and scheme, and it seems like nothing ever happens to them. There are some people out there that they spoil, meaning they try to rob, take what they can out of you, squeeze everything out, and it seems nothing bad ever happens to them. But we're thankful we have a righteous judge who will make sure that is taken care of, that will make sure that when it's all said and done, he will judge righteously. At the end of it, it says, when thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, thou shalt deal treacherously with thee. God is saying, listen, it's going to take care of itself. I've got things handled. It doesn't look like it's handled right now. We all look at the news and look at politicians and look at these people over here and say, why are they walking away? Why are they getting away scot-free? How come nothing happens? God says, don't worry about it. I am the righteous judge. I will take care of things. You can trust me. That helps us because we spend a lot of time looking at others and we get so frustrated with others that we fail to look at ourselves. We can trust God to deal with other people. We could trust God to deal with the crooked. We could trust God to deal with the robbers. We could trust God to deal with those who are not correct. We need to make sure that we are right with God, and we could trust him to deal with everything else correctly. Verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble. We can trust God in the midst of anything that we face. We could trust his judgment. We could trust him to act in mercy. We could trust him to deliver his salvation. We could trust our God to do things rightly. His judgment is right. We covered that on Wednesday night, that God is our judge, and that he makes righteous judgments. He just doesn't bring destruction, but he brings what is correct in judging. And he could bring the right things across. Verse 3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled, and the lifting up of thyself with the nations scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of a caterpillar, and as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. Now when God arises as judge, the rest of the nations will tremble. The Assyrians, once confident in their strength, are going to end up being scattered and end up being defeated. And God will take care of his people Israel, despite the threats that may be out there. Verse 5, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. God is our judge. His judgments are rooted in his nature. What is his nature? That God is righteous and that he is correct. He is a correct judge. You know, God doesn't work off human emotion. God works off righteousness. Verse number 6 along with that. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. We can trust God that his wisdom and his knowledge will bring stability. And the times that we don't feel things are correct, we can go to him and get wisdom. When we get to the place where we say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to step. We have a correct judge who has not the emotions tied to it. He's going to judge correctly. He could evaluate things correctly. He could solve our problems correctly. We go to our judge who can give us the correct ruling of how to proceed, of how to move forward. We can trust in him. Verse number 6 again, and the wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Remember, the fear of the Lord comes from an emotional response from our knowledge of him. As we get to know him and we realize that our God is going to do things correctly, it becomes a treasure to us because we get to cling to it. It becomes like gold. Lord, I know you know what you're doing. I'm not doubting it. You know what you're doing. I can trust you. Those moments, whatsoever time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. We can trust in him. And those become precious moments, treasures to us. Look, I trusted in God and he showed himself to be true. I trusted in God and he showed himself to be true. He has never let me down. He's never given me wrong information. He has never guided me the wrong way because he is a perfect judge. Notice with me as it continues on, verse 7. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, and the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lay waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant, he that despiseth the cities. He hath regarded no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewed down. Remember, Lebanon is known for its huge cedar trees and its giving image that they're leveled. And Sharon, the rose of Sharon, a beautiful thing, is like a wilderness. That wilderness is like a desert. Bashan and Carmel, these are placed with lots of vineyards and lots of fruit. It says, shall shake off their fruits. It's speaking there that there's judgment that is coming swiftly upon the oppressors. Verse number 10, and now will I rise, saith the Lord, and I will be exalted. Now will I lift myself up. And he talks about bringing the destruction to all of those enemies that come by, because God's judgment is correct. Again, with the enemies outside of the gates and no hope, the people are encouraged to go to the God of judgment. Here's a God who knows what he's doing. A God who's going to rule correctly. A God that we can make, that can take care of the enemies. The God that we can cling to. And we can trust in him. And it can be a treasure moment. By the way, we're going to see this in just a couple more chapters. I think two more chapters. We're going to see the name of God, the Lord of hosts. Finally, some of you have been waiting. You've seen that name so many times. And we're going to see God defend Israel against the 185,000. And that became one of the landmark points on not only the people's time and not only Bible history, but world history. This became one of the most important events of world history. And we can go back and say, look at this treasure, this moment. We were able to trust in God. God showed himself to be correct. He is a God who will judge this correctly. The Lord, the God, he is my judge. We also see a second aspect of God that we'd introduced before, that not only is God our judge, but we see that God is our lawgiver. God is our lawgiver. We pick this up in verse number 13. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Now, we're thankful that God has given us the scriptures that we can hear and we can acknowledge. Notice those two phrases. Hear ye that are afar off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. God says, acknowledge me. I'm God. It has been written down. You could read it for yourself. It has been recorded. So those that are far off, by the way, we're kind of far off in distance and time. And we can look and say, wow, look at what God has done. At the same time, we can trust him and he could be near and we can say, God is my God. He's not just some old deity who was the God of some people thousands of years back. But the same God who showed himself to be real is the same God that I can trust in now. And I can acknowledge him and what he has done. Verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Remember, Zion is a poetical name for Jerusalem. It carries God, the idea of God's promises that he's given to that city. The sinners in Zion are afraid, Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? You know, that's a good question. This question underscores the holiness of God. For those of us who have trusted in God's salvation, we get asked the question, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior for forgiveness of sins, who's going to hell? No one who's accepted Christ as a Savior. That is something we don't have to face because the Scriptures have been given to us. God, the lawgiver, has put a standard. We see the standard in what we would call the Ten Commandments, His standard of holiness, His righteous living. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve the burnings. But because God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. And Jesus paid the price for us. And because of the promises of God, I don't have to face the burnings. I don't have to face. God is the lawgiver. He set a standard, but He's also given us a way out. All given in His word. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 15, He continues on. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions and shaketh the hands of the holding of bribes and stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from the seeing of evil, he, that person, shall dwell on high. And his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, and the bread given to him and his water shall be sure. Here, God is saying, listen, if you've been walking with me and talking with me, you have the promise that if you've accepted me as Savior, that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to, that you're going to be with me up in heaven. I've got something better planned for you. You don't have to worry about going to that awful place called hell. We're expecting you. God is saying, because there's something different about you, you're my child, there's expected to be a difference in how you live. But you shall dwell in high, and his place of defense. Now, we're thankful. Now, again, this is the ancient world. But a place of defense was a big deal, to be put into a castle away from the enemies. When you have 185,000 troops outside, you want to be inside the walls. And you also want to have some munitions. Now, we know munitions have changed quite a bit in the last several thousand years. But I want to be in the place that can defend itself. And that's what it's speaking about, that we're not helpless. God is our defense. He can protect care of. He's got the armies. And then in addition, his bread shall be given to him and his water shall be sure. Remember in the ancient world that normally how armies would defeat each other as it was a long drawn out process, which was called a siege. And the enemy army would be outside of the walls and they wouldn't allow deliveries in and they wouldn't have deliveries out. Most cities were walled would not have enough crops in the inside of the city to feed the entire cities. Most of the time, the main part of the city was walled, and the rest of the crops were outside of the city walls. That means that the longer that the army was outside, the more that the people inside would starve. And instead of knocking down the walls, normally what would happen is the people would finally give up because of starvation, because of thirst, and because of disease and pestilence that have started to affect in there. They would give up, but the enemy army would just have to wait outside. How long would they wait? Anywhere between a couple of months to several years, a siege would last. Could you imagine not having anything to eat of substance for years? Wouldn't that make anyone want to give up? And God is saying here that when you come to me and you depend upon me, that you are kept inside of a well-fortified, well-defended fortress. But on top of that, you will have bread and water. You will be supplied that you could weather any storm because we can trust God. Now, to people that are about ready to face this army surrounding them, where there's no Walmart deliveries coming in, no McDonald's trips, no DoorDash, no, none of that, having the promise that God is going to take care of them and they could trust in Him is a big, big deal. God continues to go on. as he now switches gears. He has already explained that God is the judge. He said God is the lawgiver. In the remaining of the passage, we see that God is the king. God is the king. Notice with me in verse number 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is afar off. You know what the secret is to keep our eyes on the king. And if we look for him, he will be found. God, I need you. And he is there to hear. We could look at the king and see his beauty, that he is beauty to behold. We could see here. Now, we know that specifically, this is starting to talk about the millennial kingdom once again, where Christ is going to rule, and they don't have to worry about the enemies anymore. But we're thankful that even now we can trust our king, and we can look at his beauty, and we could say, wow, what a God. Notice as it continues to go on in verse number 18. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? With this reflection here, these oppressors who once imposed heavy burdens on the people will be no more. Where are they? Where are these people that bothered us? Where are those that oppressed us? Well, with our king, he's already defeated the enemies, and he will defeat the enemies. Notice again, if you don't mind, in verse number 19. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Remember what I said before, is that you actually had the Assyrians outside, and you would have people who would be special orators, who would be speaking in the Hebrew language, and they would speak all the different languages to make sure everyone was able to understand. And they... God is saying, you're not going to have to worry about foreign peoples. You're not going to have to worry about the invaders and their languages and the people who are threatening you. God says, I'm going to take care of those enemies. I'm going to protect you. Again, this is again specifically to Israel and giving a reflection of the millennial kingdom. But we can trust God as our king as well. Notice again in verse number 20. Look unto Zion, the city of our Solomites. Zion, again, is representing Jerusalem, a place of peace and security under the reign of God. God will protect the city and no enemy will threaten it. Notice it gives the kind of the image of what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. Look unto Zion, the city of our Solomites. Thine eye shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. A tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Now, here it's going back to the sense of a tabernacle as a tent. And you can imagine, here is a tent that will be not taken down. Notice again, it gives us description. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Now, I don't know if you've ever been camping. We used to go camping quite a bit. You put the tent up, and then you put the stakes down. And what you'd hope to do is tie the stakes enough so it wouldn't slip off the stake. Or put the stake down deep enough that it wouldn't pull back up. Because if it pulls back up, then it can be caught by the wind, it can roll. Sandstorms are nasty inside of camping. It just tries to pick up the whole thing. You want that thing secured where it cannot be blown away, where it cannot be picked up. You want to make sure all the stakes will not be removed from where it was placed. Notice as it goes on, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Not only do you want the stakes secured, but you want those cords that hold it down to the ground. You want them not to snap. Again, when the sandstorm comes, when the wind blows, when the weather hits, you want that tent that you are staying in to stay where it's at. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of going camping and having the wind come. And next thing you know, you are using body weight just to keep the thing down. And it's blowing and it's uncomfortable. You can't sleep in it. It's just trying to wrap around you. And it's not a good experience. It makes the storm worse. In fact, makes you say, I just should have stayed home. I don't know why I'm out here in the first place. When you go out there, you want the stakes to be nailed down. You want those cords not to break. You want that tent to be exactly where it should be. By the way, there is no substitute. Anything we try to do ourselves can be temporary. We could come up with our own way of staking things down. We could come up with our own cords. But when we're not depending on the Lord, all of that could be blown away. It needs to be anchored down in our hope, our confidence in who God is. Anything else will not stand. Notice with me, if you don't mind, verse 21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall no galley with oars nor gallant ship shall pass by. The Bible talks about during the millennial kingdom that God is going to set up Jerusalem and a living river is going to flow from it that is going to water everything, and it's going to be a beautiful garden coming from it. And it is God that is going to give it life, Jesus that is going to give it life, and that we could depend upon him. And that this is a type of river that no enemy ship vessel is going to be able to sail across and bother. We can trust God. Why? For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. He will save us. We know that we all go through uncomfortable times. And we know that there's varying degrees in uncomfortable times. Someone said there's no such thing as a major surgery if it's or minor surgery if it's happening to you. If it's happening to you, it's major surgery because it's important. It's what you're going through. You're worried about it. You're concerned over it. It doesn't matter how big or small seemingly the thing is, we can trust God. And we can trust him because of the aspects of whom he is. That God is our judge. He is going to judge correctly. He is going to evaluate correctly. And we could listen to his ruling, his advice, his direction. He will not lead us astray. That God is our lawgiver. And we can go and look at his law. We can look at his word. And we could see him. And that we could be drawn near. And we can go, wow, what a God. That we can hear what he has done and we can acknowledge who he is as God proves himself over and over. That when God proves himself over and over, he becomes our treasure. That moment we could have as a treasure. Look at what God did. God answered prayer again. God delivered me again. God showed himself to be correct again. Then, of course, God is the king. That we could depend on him for everything. And we can trust him. You know, it's one thing to say we can trust him. It's another thing to actually trust in him. What is it that you run to when you are scared? What does it run to when you come to the place of a situation that is overwhelming? We can trust in him, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And again, thank you that we can trust you. Without a doubt, there's spiritual warfare on the horizon for us. Many are engaged in it as we're expecting some important things as we're approaching big events for our church. And as we approach those big events, we know that spiritual warfare is going to ramp up. And that we know that the enemy wants us to quit. And that we're going to get overwhelmed. We're going to get at the place of distress. We're going to get at the place where we feel like we have no control. What is the answer? To look to our God. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Help us, Lord, as we are now facing these situations. Maybe there's something we're currently facing. Maybe it's just around the corner. Maybe it will find us tomorrow morning. Help us to trust and depend on you and watch you deliver again. And that it could be an opportunity of a golden treasure, a golden moment where we can go back and say, here's a time where God showed himself real once again. That only happens when we trust in you. Lord, help us even now to be drawn to you. Give us grace and mercy. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.